We have 5 minutes, and we've just touched the tip of this subject.
6 minutes.
6 minutes going by his clock. So we're going by Sam's phone. Any other thoughts as to this passage, to the verses that we read, that we sort of glanced over in chapter 2, walking worthy of the calling in which we've been called, and then this thought of endeavoring? Let me just say, as you're kind of gathering your thoughts, this thought of endeavoring, walk worthy of the calling in which you've been called, and then he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Endeavoring means to work to the point of exhaustion. It means to do to your very utmost. It has the idea of breaking out in sweat. That's the word endeavor. And so, have you done everything you can do? Have you left no rock unturned? Have you really, are you in a position where you can say, I've walked worthy of the calling in which I've been called in this situation? You know, that's challenging. That really, at one point, I presented that in an assembly where there were difficulties between two people. I presented that, and both of them had to say, no, I haven't turned over every rock that needs to be turned over. And you know, young people, this is the key. How much do we really endeavor? It's not that we can keep this unity. It's not that we make a unity. But we're to endeavor to keep the unity that has already been established. So we do our utmost. So any thoughts? Go ahead, Joseph.
So I guess we've been looking at it a lot from the health, looking at the health of the body of Christ, right? It's important for us, you know, to be unified and to keep that unity for, and to live out our Christian lives and our relationships, and we're looking at it kind of internally, but I guess we can also look at it externally as well, for why, and who's observing it, right? And so we go back to John 17, and in verse 20 again, 20 and 21, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us. And then we see another kind of reason why. So that the world may believe that you have sent me, right? This is now the world looking in on us, right? We're always being watched. Especially Christianity, it's on the spotlight. And really, Sam was talking about, you know, how we've done a really bad job of kind of presenting this. And so, just a challenge to us, with this world watching, you know, are we really keeping that unity? Are we really presenting? Are we showing love to one another? And then reminds me of the words that Christ spoke in John 13, in verse 34. We'll start at 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Right. So just a thought.
And you know, there's a beautiful picture. I wasn't going to get into this but now I am. You just opened that can. There's a beautiful picture in the tabernacle of the boards that are up, upright. And there's a rod that goes right through all the boards. And that speaks of the unity of the Spirit of God that's there. But outwardly, there were also rings on the outside that a pole was to go through. And that speaks of the unity outwardly. And so what you say internally and externally, there's a unity that has been established by the Spirit of God that cannot be broken, period. Cannot. But there's an outward display of that unity. That same unity that the Spirit of God has established needs to be on display through us, and the world's looking.
Is it because there's no other real, true unity outside of the unity we have in the Lord and the Father and the Son? And I'm just thinking of the Tower of Babel. The last time there was true unity apart from the unity that's on God's side, God scattered them, because the only unity the world ever shows is against God. So is it the reason why the testimony for the unity is so important? Because a company, well, just look at Grove City, a company like this isn't seen outside of the children of God. There's no company like this anywhere else, really,
yeah,
with true unity. I know you could take some examples. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about where there's more harmony than disharmony. I mean, you could,
right,
talk about the United Nations, where they're, mm-hmm, united, but it's filled with disharmony and disunity, really. And I'm just wondering, just as a general principle, is unity something, true unity, like that we've been discussing, can only be seen when you have the Spirit of God there?
I think that's absolutely correct. I think unity is a product that only the Spirit of God has produced, and anything else falls short. And just in recapping now where we've been, in closing, what is unity? Unity is a product that the Spirit of God has accomplished through the work of Christ, right? And unity is of the Spirit. We saw that. Unity is organic. And by that, I mean that it's living and it's vital. It's real, because it has to do with the organism called the body. All right? Not the organization that we've made it into today, but the organism, the body. And unity, and we didn't cover this, we will, but unity is diversity. Thank God that we're not all alike. Because, well, never mind. But thank God we're not all alike. So there's diversity. And we'll cover that in the days to come. But the question I want to leave us with as we leave today, and just a quietness of your own heart. Is there any relationship that you have with anybody where you're not endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace? Is there anything in your life, any friction? Because we can talk about this till we're blue in the face, but the reality is it's got to start now. It's got to start here. It's got to start in my heart. So is there any area where I'm not walking worthy of the calling in which I've been called in connection to unity? So let's just pause with that. And maybe a brother could close in prayer.